officials in the Gaza Strip are assessing the damage to thousands of buildings following the recent Israeli onslaught on the besieged territory. British police arrest a number of protesters rallying outside the Israeli embassy in London to voice anger at the regime's crimes against Palestinians. The coronavirus pandemic is surging through India, with the country reporting more infections and related deaths. Hey everyone, welcome to World News here in the Iranian capital. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Authorities in the Gaza Strip are assessing the damage to residential buildings that's caused by 11 days of Israeli airstrikes and shelling on the besieged Palestinian territory. Officials say that their assessment includes over 1,100 buildings which have been flattened completely in the Israeli bombing campaign. 900 buildings were also severely damaged and are beyond repair, while another 15,000 sustained varying degrees of damage. Officials say that government offices in the Gaza Strip will release the request for removing the rubble. They're facing a lack of funding and equipment in the rubble removal work.
We are faced with many difficulties in the clearing work. The first is the risk that the damaged buildings might collapse. The second is the lack of equipment, including more manual and mechanical equipment like excavators and rammers. A lot of the equipment available here are old and unsafe for workers.
Gaza officials also say that they are searching for possible bodies of victims from under the rubble. The Israeli war ended after a ceasefire came into force early Friday morning. At least 279 Palestinians were killed, including 69 children, since May 10th. The UN has called for an end to the Israeli blockade on Gaza. Scuffles have broken out between UK police and protesters who gathered in central London in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Police arrested a number of protesters who rallied in front of the Israeli embassy to express anger at the regime's crimes against the Palestinian people. They chanted Free Palestine, calling for an end to the Israeli occupation. They argued that Tel Aviv is a modern colonialist. Similar events were held in other parts of the world in support of the Palestinians. People staged rallies in the U.S. city of San Francisco, the Lebanese capital Beirut, and the French capital Paris, to celebrate the victory of the Palestinians.
For the second week in a row, a march in Paris for Palestine has been banned by the French authorities. The only authorized demonstration was a static gathering, but these restrictions had at least one positive outcome. It temporarily unified a broad spectrum of organizations. Trade unions, political parties, and many associations demonstrated all together against the Israeli war crimes and in favor of the Palestinian resistance. Long time not seen. The protesters also blamed the complicity of French President Macron with the Israeli war crimes.
It's totally hypocrisy. The French government does not condemn the colonization and the ethnic cleansing in Jerusalem. The French government only condemns Palestinians when they defend themselves. Now there is a generalized outrage of all the Palestinians in Gaza, in Jerusalem, in the West Bank, in occupied cities since 1948, and in the refugee camps. Today, all these organizations act together to support the Palestinian resistance.
Many protesters salute the recent ceasefire concluded between Israel and Hamas, but they say it's a very temporary and partial ceasefire.
We're all happy about the ceasefire, but this doesn't fix all remaining problems. The colonization of Palestine by Israel has to be stopped, the political prisoners have to be released, and the apartheid policy has to end. It's a shame for the entire world. Macron said that Israel has the right to defend itself. It's a scandal. You don't defend yourself by killing children.
French President Macron indeed condemned the rockets fired by Hamas by saying that Israel has the right to defend itself. At the same moment, entire families and children died in Gaza under the Israeli bombs. His statement scandalized a lot of people.
We all want sanctions against Israel, divestment and a boycott of Israeli products so that pressure will increase to stop the colonization of the Palestinian territories. We denounce the complicity of the French government with Israel. France is not putting any pressure on Israel. Even worse, France collaborates with Israel economically and militarily.
The international NGO Human Rights Watch called the policy of Israel against the Palestinian population apartheid. These are strong words and a reference to the South African apartheid system decades ago. That system has been overcome by international pressure. Time to do the same with Israel.
The organizers here demand concrete sanctions against Israel from the French authorities and from the European Union. Chris Den Hond, Paris.
Israeli troops have again attacked Palestinian protesters in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem al-Quds. Several Palestinians were wounded. Protesters have gathered there to demand an end to the siege of the neighborhood. The Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood has been the scene of Israeli forces' brutal crackdown on Palestinian protesters over the past weeks. Tensions hiked in the area over the regime's plans to evict a number of Palestinian families to make way for Israeli settlers. Now let's move on with the rest of this broadcast. Secretary General of the Islamic Jihad Movement has sent a congratulatory letter to the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution to mark the victory of the Palestinian resistance. In the letter to Ayatollah Khamenei, Ziad al-Nakhala says that the 11-day battle between Israel and the resistance in the Gaza Strip resulted in the defeat of the regime. He said the victory helped the Palestinians appear more powerful in the eyes of the enemies. Nakhala said that Iran's unwavering and all-out support played a major role in the success of Operation Al-Quds Sword. People in Yemen have congratulated Palestinian people on their historic victory against a usurper Tel Aviv regime. They say the triumph of resistance groups amounts to a source of pride for the entire Palestinian nation and indicates that the Palestinian resistance movements are a force to be reckoned with.
Yemenis have extended their congratulations to Palestinian people over the landmark victory of the resistance front against the criminal Israeli regime. They also say Yemen's financial support will persist until Palestinians regain all their usurped territories from the Zionist regime.
The victory of the Palestinian resistance was like a big blow to the Zionist enemy, who didn't expect the power of deterrence and the armed struggle that the Palestinian resistance showed in this battle, which prompted the Zionist entity to begin to recalculate its moves and declare a unilateral ceasefire in the beginning.
The spokesman for the anti-aggression parties bloc lauded Iran for enhancing the financial and technical capabilities of Palestinian resistance factions. He said Iran has always been playing a key role in supporting the resistance front, mainly in Palestine, Lebanon, and Syria.
The Islamic Republic of Iran played a leading role via the Quds Force, which was led by Martyr Qasem Soleimani, and provided resistance fighters in Gaza with all kinds of weapons and training. There is also missile and financial support, and we thank the leadership in Iran for their unlimited support for the axis of resistance, whether in Palestine or Syria or in Lebanon.
During the 12 days of the Israeli aggression on Gaza, the Israeli attacks have killed scores of Palestinians, including women and children, and wounded more than 1,900 others, according to the Gazan Health Ministry, in what is said to be the fiercest war against Palestinians over the past 7 years.
Yemenis appraised the victory of the Palestinian resistance, saying it is a source of pride for the entire nation. They say this victory is the first step toward the full liberation of all occupied Palestinian territories. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
A senior member of Yemen's Ansar movement has dismissed new sanctions imposed by the U.S. on two military officials. The head of the Ansar Supreme Revolutionary Committee says that the sanctions do not frighten the Yemeni fighters. Mohammed Ali al-Houthi has urged a Saudi-led coalition to end the six-year offensive and blockade of Yemen. Al-Houthi warned that the Yemeni army might strike unexpected sites in what he called aggressor countries if they fail to do so. The two targeted Houthi officials have been leading a fight for Yemen's Mara province. The U.S. says the move aims to de-escalate fighting and bring about a ceasefire. The Ansar movement says it does not accept the ceasefire deal as long as Hodeidah port is under blockade. This is while the Yemeni army says that it has shot down another spy aircraft belonging to the Saudi-led coalition. Army spokesman Yahya Saria said that the plane was downed by air defenses. That's the second Saudi reconnaissance aircraft that the Yemeni forces hit in the past few days. On Friday, the army said it shot down a drone belonging to Riyadh over Najran border with a surface-to-air missile. The Yemenis have been fighting back the war waged on their country by Riyadh and its allies in March 2015. The aggression has claimed tens of thousands of Yemenis' lives, mostly those of civilians, and displaced millions more. The supply convoys of the U.S.-led coalition have come under attack at three separate places in southern Iraq. The logistic convoys were targeted by roadside bombs in the province of Mathana, Qadisiyya, and Babu. The attacks reportedly damaged the vehicles but left no casualties. Those incidents occurred hours after a blast ripped through another supply convoy in the Nasiriyah province. No group has claimed responsibility for the bombings. Attacks on U.S. forces and their supply convoys in Iraq have increased in the past months amid heightened anti-American sentiment. The escalation followed the U.S. assassination of a top Iranian general and a senior Iraqi commander near Baghdad in January last year. The Iranian parliament speaker says that the International Atomic Energy Agency is not entitled to have access to images and information recorded by the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. Mohammad Bagheradipov said that the three-month deadline set for the IAEA expired on the 22nd of May. Accordingly, the agency has no right to access footage and information recorded by Iranian cameras. Back in February, Iran and the agency reached an agreement during a visit to Tehran by IAEA Director General Rafael Grossi. Under that deal, it was agreed that Iran record data pertaining to some of its nuclear activity and keep them for 3 months. The two sides agreed that Iran would share the data with the IAEA if sanctions against the country were removed within the same period. Otherwise, as agreed, Iran would erase the data forever. Grossi is to take part in a press conference later today. Damascus has strongly condemned the French foreign ministry's statement on the presidential election in Syria. The Syrian foreign ministry says that the election is a sovereign Syrian affair par excellence, and no foreign party has the right to interfere in it. The ministry stressed that only Syrian people have the final word. On that, in response to a French foreign ministry spokesman who described the Syrian presidential election as invalid and illegal. On Saturday, Syrian expatriates and refugees kicked off voting in the presidential election scheduled for next week. Based on reports, a huge turnout at polling stations and Syrian embassies throughout the world has been going on, including in Paris. Mohammed Ali says that the French foreign ministry's statements regarding the Syrian presidential vote is another proof that Paris is not seeking stability in the Arab country.
Syria regards France as one of the countries which, of course, is an enemy to Syria. When we look at the policies it adopted towards the Arab country, France was always against security and stability in Syria and in favor of chaos, instability, and the terrorists, various terrorist groups across the country. And the statements made by France today is just another proof, according to many analysts here, of the French attitude and policy towards Syria, which is against the stability, against security, because such elections in Syria is a step towards a political solution. French post Syria is known. It is an enemy country to Syria. It has supported terrorists. It was against stability and security. And this is why we're seeing such statements today by France. This is all according to the Syrian, of course, analysts and Syrian government officials. And this is very clear. France, as well as countries like the United States and the West in general, were always against the stability in Syria, in favor of their own interests, and again, and only in favor of the terrorist groups inside the country.
The coronavirus pandemic is surging through India, with the country reporting more infections and related deaths. There were 241,000 new cases on Sunday, pushing the caseload to 26.5 million. New daily deaths rose by more than 3,700, taking the fatalities to 300,000. Despite a growing number of deaths, cases have been a downward trend over the past couple of days amid partial or full lockdowns in most states. India has struggled with a health crisis since April, when a more virulent second wave of infections hit it. The vaccination progress is underway, but the campaign is facing major challenges due to limited supplies of doses. Now, that was India. As for Brazil, the health officials have reported more than 1,900 new deaths from COVID-19, raising the fatalities to some 450,000. Officials also registered 756,000 new cases, pushing the total to more than 16 million. Brazil remains the world's second worst country by the pandemic in terms of deaths. The U.S. is still the world's worst hit nation, despite mass vaccination programs underway there. American officials have recorded nearly 590,000 deaths out of over 33.1 million cases. At least 21 people have been confirmed dead in a running event in China due to extreme weather conditions. Runners competing in a 100-kilometer cross-country mountain race were caught unawares by extreme weather on Saturday. It happened near the city of Baiyin in northwestern Gansu province. The incident occurred when freezing rain and gales hit the area of the race's high-altitude stage. Participants suffered from physical discomfort and loss of temperature due to a sudden drop in the air temperature. Some of the participants went missing, and the race was halted. A search and rescue operation got underway following that tragic incident. 151 of the 172 runners have confirmed to be safe. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of spring, May 23rd, 2021. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and for your information, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, and as I have repeated for several times during different editions of Listeners Special, these reception reports are very useful to us in IRM English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving EQSL card from us. Yes, EQSL card from us. As you know, after the coronavirus pandemic, we've decided to design and prepare EQSL cards, and that's because of hygienic protocols. So please wait for my colleagues to send you EQSL cards, and that's good news. And I think some of our dear listeners have recently received those QSL cards from IRM English Radio. Here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Malik Zaroon from Pakistan, Don Glaka from the US, and M. Abdul Razak from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners. Malik, Don, and Abdul Razak, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRB English Radio. Also, many thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including Eddie Witanto from Indonesia is one of our regular listeners who have sent us an email. Also, Igor Kolke from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Hasna Manzil from India has sent us an email. Avinash from India, yes. Avinash has sent us an email, and Ali Hassan from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Many thanks for sending us this, these really inspiring messages. So please be with us in Listeners Special. After a short break, I will be back with these kind messages, and I will read them, yes, after the music. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Indonesia. This email is from Eddie Witanto. Eddie Witanto is one of our regular listeners who says, "Firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Almost every day I tune in to the IRIB English radio because a variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society are presented in the programs, and they are very interesting. Best regards from Indonesia." Oh, well, salam and warm greetings to you, Eddie Witanto, from Indonesia. We are very happy that our signals are heard in Jakarta, Indonesia, the capital of Indonesia. We are so happy that you tune in to IRIB English Radio every day. That's good news. And you said it's because the variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and, of course, politics presented in the programs. And we are very happy that you found them very interesting. We are happy that you're enjoying the programs. So please, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, tell us which programs you like the best. Totally tell us your views about these broadcasts. That's, as you said, you tune in to them every day. That's an honor, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Many thanks for writing this really inspiring and encouraging message to IRIB English Radio. Please write to us soon. Wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. And from Russia, we have an email from Igor Kolke. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I am a shortwave radio listener from Moscow, Russia, and I am currently having a great pleasure of listening to your broadcast. I very much hope it is possible for you to verify this reception report by issuing a QSL card or EQSL card. Thank you for your excellent broadcast. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to hear from you soon and would love to receive a verification card from you to add to my collection." And warm greetings to you, Igor Kolke from Russia, one of our old listeners. We are very happy that our signals are heard in Moscow, in Russia. And of course, we have a great pleasure to have you as a listener. Many thanks for writing this email to us. And as you explained, yes, it is possible for us to send you EQSL card. As you may know, after a long period of time of not sending our dear listeners QSL cards because of hygienic protocols due to coronavirus pandemic, now my colleagues are sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. Yes, you can receive the EQSL card and add it to your collection. Ah, Igor Kolke, why don't you tell us your views about our programs? Please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your attitude toward our programs, our broadcast, and we will be happy to receive more emails and letters from you from Russia. Reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Many thanks again for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with kind emails and letters from around the world. And here I have an email from Hasna Manzil from India, who says, "Dear friends at IRB English Radio, I am a listener of worldwide radios, and this time I had a chance to listen to IRIB English Radio base in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it. Thanks and regards." And salam and warm greetings to you, Hasna Manzil from India. It seems that you've already joined us in IRIB English Radio and you've already listened to our programs. So you are a listener of worldwide radios. It seems that you listen to many radios around the world, and this time you found IRIB English Radio in Tehran, Iran, as you said. Yes, it's an honor to have you with us. So please keep in touch. Continue this relationship. Please tell us which programs in IRB English Radio you like the best. Tell us your views about our programs and about your request about the frequency guide of our station with complete details of the programs. Let me tell you one thing. You can refer to our website. Yes, these details are available at the website at www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find the frequency guide of our station with complete details of the programs. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, Hasna Manzil from India. And please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We are waiting. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Hasna Manzil from India. And again, from India, yes, we have another email from India. This email is from Avinash. Avinash from India says, "Dear IRB English Radio staff, thanks for your reply to my reception. I have a suggestion, and that is, IRIB can design EQ cells featuring the rich heritage and culture of Iran, as well as the Iranian architecture, landscapes, personalities, Iranian cuisine, sports, etc. It would be great if you can send me the new IRIB frequency schedule by email, so that I can tune in to the new frequencies of IRIB and report the quality of reception." Oh, well, salam and warm greetings to you, Avinash, from India, and warm thanks to you for sending this encouraging and inspiring email to IRIB English Radio, and many thanks for reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio and giving us a suggestion. That was a nice suggestion. Yes, my colleagues have prepared the EQSL cards, but you suggested that we can have the featuring of the rich heritage and culture of Iran. As you said, with the Iranian architecture, landscapes, personalities, Iranian cuisine, sports. Oh, well, it seems that you know a lot about Iranian culture and heritage. As you said, you mentioned some of the most important features of Iran as landscapes, architecture, Iranian cuisine. Oh, by the way, have you ever tested Iranian cuisine? It seems that you've tested, because you are talking about it in your suggestion. That's nice, Avinash from India. You can wait for an EQSL card from our colleagues. Yes, it was a great honor to have this email from you and have this suggestion from you, Avinash from India. Many thanks for writing this email to us. Write to us soon. Wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Guess what? We have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Ali Hassan from Bangladesh. Ali Hassan says, after a long time, I started listening to your station again. Now, I am one of your regular listeners. I love to listen to radio programs. I am collecting news about Bangladesh and the whole Indian subcontinent by listening to your radio programs and from the website. It helps me update and improve my knowledge. Please send me your program schedule. Radio listening and collecting postcards are my favorite hobbies. Also, I would love to receive some souvenir from you, such as QSL cards, postcards, or other items that you send to your listeners. Thanks. And salam and warm greetings to you, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh. So, you said after a long time you started listening to IRIB English Radio. Why? In your upcoming emails and letters, tell us why you started listening to this station again. So, we are happy that you joined us, as you said. Now you've resumed listening to IRIB English radio programs, and many thanks for reflecting your views. As you said, you love to listen to IRIB English radio programs. So you are collecting news about Bangladesh. It seems that you collect them from different websites and different radio programs, different news programs. So it helps you get you updated and improve your knowledge. That's great. So you requested the program's schedule. Then I suggest you to refer to our website at www.parsoday.com/en, and there you can find the program schedule of IRIB English Radio. And you said you have different hobbies, among them radio listening and collecting postcards. Great. And you've requested souvenirs or promotional items such as QSL cards. And as I have described in the previous emails and in the introduction of the programs, my colleagues have prepared eQSL cards. Yes, IRIB English Radio used to send listeners QSL cards, but because of coronavirus and the hygienic protocols, now my colleagues are sending you eQSL cards. And, of course, in the near future, we will send our dear listeners promotional items and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, such as postcards. Many thanks, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh, for sending us this email. Write to us very soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Please stay with us. Dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes
writing us a letter, or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Attempting to steal more homes in the Sheikh Jarrah area in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds by the Israeli regime, defiling the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan, and 11 days of Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip have all been experienced by Palestinians within the last month alone. Now, these are just the latest examples of the regime in Tel Aviv defying international law. Will Israel be charged with war crimes, as many individuals and organizations are demanding?
An Egypt-brokered truce that came into effect on May 21st put an end to 11 days of Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. People in the besieged Gaza and the occupied West Bank hailed the truce as a victory for Palestinian resistance groups in the face of Israeli attacks. They also voiced support for resistance against Israeli violations of Palestinian rights. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has also congratulated the Palestinian people for their recent victory over the Zionist regime. In a statement, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the Israeli regime committed huge crimes against Palestinians' united resistance.
The tyrant regime committed massive crimes, mainly in Gaza. It practically proved that due to its incapability in the face of Palestine's united uprising, it embarks on such shameful and insane acts. The world public opinion stood in opposition against the regime, and more hatred was fomented toward Tel Aviv and its Western backers, particularly the U.S.
Ayatollah Khamenei also noted that Palestinians' resistance left the Zionist regime with no choice but to request a ceasefire.
The regime's defeat was manifested both in its continued crimes and its request for a ceasefire. The Israeli regime was forced to concede defeat.
The Iranian leader noted that the Israeli regime will get weaker than what it is today, while the preparedness of resistance forces will make Palestine stronger day by day. He also called on the entire Muslim nations to feel responsible for the Palestinian cause.
Muslim governments should enter the scene with sincerity to support the Palestinian nation, whether by boosting their military might or lending financial support. This is required more than ever before for the reconstruction of the infrastructure and repairing the damage done to Gaza.
Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that the crimes Israel committed during its latest onslaught should not be left unpunished. He said Israeli authorities, particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, must be brought to justice in independent international tribunals. The leader's remarks came as figures indicate that Israel's offensive on densely populated Gaza has killed at least 279 Palestinians, including 69 children, from May 10th until May 21st. More than 1,900 people, including 70 journalists, were also wounded in the regime's airstrikes and artillery attacks. The Palestinian Journalists Syndicate says it is filing a complaint about Israeli crimes against journalists that would be presented to the International Criminal Court. Reporters Without Borders has regarded the Israeli airstrikes on media in Gaza as war crimes. The recent Israeli aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip began after the Israeli regime attacked worshippers in the Al-Aqsa Mosque and started eviction plans of the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in the occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds. Following the Egypt-brokered truce, more than 90,000 Gazans who were displaced from their homes during the attacks are now returning to their homes, but a trail of destruction is awaiting them since much of Gaza's critical infrastructure and many civilian buildings were badly damaged or completely leveled during the onslaught. International NGOs and Gaza officials say several hospitals and schools, as well as power and sewage plants, have been severely damaged. The Red Cross says that Gaza could take years to rebuild.
I'd like to welcome my guest to this debate, human rights activist Aidit Mormont out of Manchester and director of Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought, Zafar Bangash out of Toronto. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Manchester. The recent 11 days of attacks by the Israeli regime on Gaza was preceded by onslaughts in 2008, 2009, 2012, and 2014, thousands of Palestinians have been killed during these attacks. Has the Israeli regime been held at all responsible for any of these incursions and attacks up until now?
It certainly hasn't been held to account as it should be. But one thing for certain is that the groundswelling of support for the Palestinians throughout that period has grown and grown and grown. I've just now come back from a demonstration in Manchester with thousands of people, much more than we ever have. We had 10,000 last week in the middle of the height of the intensity of the carnage that Israel was unleashing on the Palestinians in Gaza. So in some ways, finally, the appropriate response on the ground is such that people higher up are starting to know that they cannot ignore this any longer, that they will be judged by history for standing silent while the Palestinians in Gaza are getting massacred again and again. And I have to say that the pressure told. The international response, as well as the incredible resistance on the ground and the very strength of the people to withstand it, stopped it quicker than has happened in recent times. When 2,200 people were killed in Gaza in 51 days in 2014, this was one of the most horrible acts of Israel's many horrendous crimes against the Palestinians, and that was 500 children killed in 51 days. The carnage and horror has been just as intense. But at the very least, they had to stop. They had to stop because there wasn't just people in the usual places that were taking action and putting pressure on people in leadership and putting pressure on local councillors, putting pressure on everybody, including companies that are connected to Israel, with the boycott, divestment and sanctions, the arms factories, for example, the Elbit ones, people occupied and closed them from Palestine Action while the attacks were going on. So the intensity of the response from the people will eventually hold them to account. And
okay,
I know
stay with
now,
me, because I want to look at that part of it at the end of the program. But Zafar, during this 2021 onslaught, experts say many international laws have been broken by Israel, attacking occupied people, attacking holy places, usurping property, attacking a civilian population, attacking schools, health centers, residential areas, journalists' offices, all add up to war crimes. Your thoughts about that? Does it mean that because it adds up to war crimes, that we will see the Israeli regime being held responsible for these war crimes, or your assessment of it?
Well, we need to keep in mind that Israel is already being investigated for the crimes that it committed in 2014 onslaught on Gaza. And the International Criminal Court, in fact, the special prosecutor, carried out years of investigations. They have established all of the legal parameters. that the International Criminal Court has jurisdiction. Number two, that Israel may have committed war crimes and that the International Criminal Court should investigate them. And now the Palestinian Authority or its foreign minister has already sent a letter to the International Criminal Court regarding the latest Israeli war crimes. As you mentioned, we listed them. There's attacks on civilian infrastructure, hospitals, clinics, schools, and other infrastructures. These all constitute war crimes. And since there is already an investigation underway, it will make it a lot easier for the International Criminal Court to pursue these investigations as well, or these charges as well. What I cannot say for certain is whether the International Criminal Court would be able to muster enough courage to be able to convict the Zionist regime. But I think the ice has already been broken. I think now we are heading towards a situation whereby even if the Zionist regime is not convicted by the International Criminal Court, the rest of the world has now seen that the Zionist regime is a criminal regime. And the outpouring of support for the Palestinian people worldwide, everywhere. In fact, these are unprecedented times. Even parliamentarians in various countries, including in the U.S. Congress, there is a number of senators and Congress, House of Representative members, that have sent a letter to President Biden urging him, or in fact demanding that Israel should be held to account. Even in Canada, 25 parliamentarians have sent a letter to the Canadian government insisting that Israel should be held to account. So I think we can see this change, this groundswell of change, first of all, emerging from the people, and then even among elected representatives. So I think a change is on its way.
Well, Adi, what about that? He says he thinks that change is on its way. I mean, in this onslaught, we saw at least 279 Palestinians being killed. 69 of them were children. Now, that's nearly 25% of the total number. I want to talk about that, because when we're talking about public opinion, and before, of course, the Israeli regime tried to show itself as the victim, how much of a role does it play in it that actually our children, has, as always, have been a large percentage of the victims?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, when there was Each time there's an attack by Israel, they always do this. They kill multitudes of children and lots of innocent men and women. It's across the board. But the point is, it's clear as crystal that Israel is indiscriminately bombing families. They wiped out 90 entire families in 2014. So don't tell me that actually their collateral damage or they were on top of an infrastructure. So many of them are having meals. Some of the kids were having exams at the start of the bombing of 2009, when 330 kids were killed in 22 days. I lost two of my students. One of their entire family with her two little babies were killed in 2014. So I think this will have a major effect. I think this is one of the things that's having a major effect. It's literally about people just opening their eyes more and more. And the moment that they're seeing it, it comes flooding through, and then all the previous crimes come flooding through. And for me, it is a turning point, because when you see that many children come into the intensive care unit in hospital, as I did when I was in the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza during the bombing of 2012, when 32 children were killed in 1 week, then all those pictures are coming out. Social media is coming out. It gets to the point where even mainstream Western media now is having to report it. So this is all about pressure. It's all about social media. It's all about the bravery of some channels and some photographers that just have kept pushing and getting things out, as well as obviously the Palestinians have raised their voice themselves through social media. So these pictures are coming out. These videos are coming out of the children and of the carnage and of the destruction and of the tower blocks on video live as they get totally destroyed with everybody's home and pet possession inside it. So obviously these children are going to be under the spotlight, because it's the most vulnerable part of society. And so when they're killed, you know that these are crimes, and these are global crimes. And actually the International Criminal Court is a very good point made there. There was even a report on in 2009, the Goldstone report, that originally accused Israel of war crimes. It's been growing ever since, as have Amnesty International, who said they've committed war crimes. Serve Human Rights Watch, So that this gradual pressure, I think, will make it easier, especially because, like you, the gentleman said, where they're already prosecuting now, finally, after so much pressure from the crimes of 2014, these crimes now that are very well documented, that even mainstream news channels had to, even Western news channels had to show, people are already starting to break on Israel now, and I think we've seen one of the biggest sea changes in terms of my life, and I actually feel like Palestinians will be free in my lifetime because of the gradual pressure on all fronts, including the legal side.
Well, Zafar, now the leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, says that Israel must be held responsible for its crimes. An independent international court of law should prosecute the regime. And also, he said that Muslim governments are all responsible to support the Palestinians in any way that they can, even financially right now, helping to rebuild the infrastructure and in any way. Do you see a transition with some of these Muslim governments in their in being able to understand or seeing their responsibility in supporting Palestine, or your assessment of that?
Well, I really don't have much hope from many of these Arab regimes, with the exception of perhaps Qatar, that has already pledged $50 million in reconstruction contribution. But the rest of them are actually agents of Zionism and imperialism. So they are in the enemy camp. They don't belong to the Muslim Ummah. They may have Muslim names, but they're not going to do anything for the Palestinian people. The other, of course, you know, apart from the Islamic Republic of Iran, which has been instrumental in supporting the Palestinian cause, the Palestinian leadership, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, have openly admitted the material, financial, technical support that the Islamic Republic has offered or extended to them. Secondly, I think there is probably some hope that countries like Pakistan and Turkey may come through, although I'm very disappointed that the Turkish government, despite mouthing, you know, launching verbal volleys against Israel, it still has diplomatic relations with Israel. It still has open trade with Israel. Its ambassador is still there. And there are LL flights, Israeli flights coming to Istanbul, hundreds of thousands of Israeli tourists flying every day into, not every day, but every year into Turkey. I think Turkey really has to, you know, clean up its act and come through for the Palestinian people beyond its rhetorical things. But I think there is a change. But I, as I said, I want to repeat, we can hold no hope from the Arab regime. The vast majority of them are actually in the enemy camp.
Okay. Well, Aidy, now, Israel always appeared not to care what the media would show, because overall Tel Aviv and its lobbies in various countries would make sure that they controlled the narrative. However, this time around, the regime aggressively targeted media offices and members of the media. 70 journalists were wounded in Gaza, 170 wounded in the occupied territories, and one was killed, and 33 media organizations destroyed. Why do you think that that has been the case this time around specifically?
I think that actually it's a sign of Israel in decline. Israel is getting ultimately more and more exposed. There will be more and more progression towards holding to account. And they're more aware that actually the cat is out of the bag, and people are more aware of what's going on now. So what's happened is they've got more disdain now for media that is actually even just asking vaguely soft questions, to the point where they're going after CNN and Sky reporters who have been massive allies of Israel. They've actually, you know, always shown the Israeli side, given Israel spokespeople much more time, airtime, and often just dismissing Palestinians, just showing crowds, not showing the names and the background of all those kids that were killed, and equating the two sides so much, when actually the Palestinians are all being killed 20 times more than the Israeli side, not to mention Israel's ongoing ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians and the longest running military occupation in modern history, and the attacks on Jerusalem, the child prisoners, all that is put aside. And yet, look at how, you know, right-wing and reactionary the Israeli government has now become. They're completely mad, which is why they can set these bombs off on civilian populations like they do in Gaza. And so they think everybody's the enemy, and even the people that actually they should be thanking for their support, like a lot of Western media that has given them an easy ride to kill so many Palestinians and take even more land. In fact, they're that reactionary that they're going after these news media. And so they're starting